Okay, so let's dive into this Supreme Court case, United States v. Ward. It really gets into this tricky area where a penalty for some kind of environmental issue crosses the line. Is it civil? Is it criminal? What does that mean for your rights?
Well, and it's interesting, right? Because it brings up this Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, which you think about in the context of a trial. But here we are, it's coming up in this seemingly civil penalty context.
And to lay it out, we're back in 1975. L. Ward, he's running an oil drilling operation in Oklahoma. And boom, oil spills into a tributary of the Arkansas River.
Now, there's this law, Section 311 of the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, requires him to report any spills to the EPA, so he does.
Files a report, thinks he's doing the right thing. But the Coast Guard, using that report, hits him with a $500 fine.
Under a different section of that same law. And he says, hold on a second, this is violating my Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Because he's basically being compelled to report something that's then used to penalize him. He's essentially testifying against himself.
So this isn't just like a whoops, you made a mistake.
No.
This gets to the heart of like constitutional questions.
Absolutely. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. They had to figure out, is this penalty, which Congress called civil, really a criminal punishment, but disguised as a civil one?
Okay, so how do you even start untangling that?
Well, luckily they had a previous case, Kennedy v. Mendoza Martinez, and they'd set out these factors you have to look at to determine if a penalty is truly civil.
It was like a checklist.
Yeah, like a checklist. So one of those is the penalized conduct, like the spill itself, already a crime? In this case, no, spilling oil wasn't a crime.
Okay, so that's one point on the civil side, but I'm guessing it's not that straightforward.
You're right. The court also looked at the size of the penalty. What's the purpose? Is it to punish or to just encourage compliance? And even how the law itself was structured. Like here, civil and criminal penalties were in different sections, passed 70 years apart.
So they had to really dig into the history of it.
Exactly. And in the end, the majority, in an opinion written by Justice Rehnquist, sided with the government. They said Congress was really clear that they meant this to be civil.
So just because they call it civil, that's the end of it.
Well, not quite. Remember those factors from Mendoza Martinez?
The checklist.
They went through those, and most of them pointed to civil.
Okay, so what were some of the other big ones?
Well, the fine was relatively small, only $500. And the purpose seemed to be more about cleanup, encouraging cleanup, not punishing Ward for the spill itself.
Ah, so the size and the purpose really matter. But I bet this wasn't unanimous.
You're right. There were dissenting voices, and Justice Stevens really stood out. He said, this automatic penalty just feels like punishment.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, if you know reporting a spill equals a fine, even if it's called civil, feels a little tricky.
It does. And Stevens was worried that this would discourage people from reporting things at all.
Yeah, because if you're afraid you'll get in trouble, you might just hope nobody notices.
And that's where it gets even more interesting because the law itself actually had something called use immunity.
Okay, use immunity. I'm all ears.
So it means the EPA can't use Ward's report to go after him criminally for the spill,
Okay.
but they can use it for the civil penalties.
So it protects you from criminal charges, but not from the fines.
Exactly. And this gets to the heart of the case, balancing protecting the environment with individual rights.
Because you want companies to be transparent about spills, but you don't want them to be scared to report them.
You don't want them afraid to do the right thing. So it's a delicate balance.
It really makes you think about, like, where is that line, between civil and criminal, especially with these environmental regulations?
Yeah, it gets really fuzzy. And that's why this case, I think, is so important for, lawyers, anyone dealing with regulatory stuff, because on the one hand, Congress clearly wanted to make it so reporting a spill, didn't automatically mean criminal charges. But as Stevens pointed out, it's not quite that simple. That automatic fine, even if it's civil, it feels like a punishment.
It does. And it makes you wonder, does that actually make people less likely to report things?
Like, if you know you're going to get hit with a fine no matter what, why bother reporting? You might as well try to hide it.
It's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
It is. And that's the dilemma, right? How do we hold companies accountable, but also encourage them to come forward and, clean up messes quickly?
It's a tough one. I mean,
Yeah.
are there any ideas out there, like from legal scholars, policymakers, how do we find that balance?
Well, there's no easy answer, but there are some interesting thoughts. Some folks think we need like clearer guidelines on what makes a penalty civil versus criminal, especially in this area, environmental law, where the stakes are so high.
Yeah, it can't just be about what Congress decides to label it.
Exactly. You got to look deeper at the substance of the penalty. Like, what's its purpose? Is it really to fix things or is it just to punish? And is it fair? You know, do people have a chance to defend themselves?
All good points. And I imagine the context matters too, right? Like a $500 fine for a small spill feels different than, you know, millions of dollars for a huge disaster.
Oh, absolutely. Context is key. We can't have a one-size-fits-all approach. It needs to be tailored to each situation.
So practically speaking, what are you telling, like, your clients who are dealing with environmental compliance? What's the takeaway from Ward?
Well, first thing, I say Ward is a wake-up call. Even seemingly small violations can have big consequences. You got to be proactive, have a good plan in place.
So it's not enough to just react after something happens.
Yeah. No, you got to think about it beforehand. Have procedures for reporting spills, know what the penalties might be, and when to get a lawyer involved. Because even though Ward upheld those civil penalties, it doesn't mean you just have to accept them.
So you can still fight them, even if they're civil.
Absolutely. You need a good lawyer who knows the ins and outs of environmental law and can protect your rights. Because that line between civil and criminal, it might be blurry, but the consequences are real.
That's a great point. So it sounds like Ward is something every environmental lawyer needs to know about.
For sure. And really, any lawyer dealing with regulatory enforcement, it's a landmark case, still shaping how we think about environmental law and the balance of power. And the questions it raises, they're more relevant than ever because we're seeing civil penalties used everywhere, not just environmental stuff.
Yeah, it's like in finance, healthcare, even campaign finance, right?
Exactly. Ward opened up a whole can of worms, legally speaking. And it reminds us that even these technical legal differences can have huge effects on people.
So we've talked a lot about how Ward messes with the whole civil versus criminal thing, especially for environmental law.
Right.
But I'm curious about, like, the bigger picture. Has this case had ripple effects in other areas of law, too?
Oh, absolutely. And it's something legal scholars are still debating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest impacts, I think, has been how much more we're seeing civil penalties used. Like, it's become a major tool for enforcement across the board.
Yeah, like you said, finance, healthcare, even campaign finance. It seems like every agency is using them.
Right. It's almost like they're trying to avoid criminal trials, you know?
Yeah, I guess it makes sense practically. Right. Civil cases are easier to prove, faster, less expensive.
Exactly. They can go after more violations this way without, you know, getting bogged down in these huge criminal cases.
But doesn't that kind of give the government too much power? Like, what about due process? If they could just hit you with a big fine without proving you meant to do anything wrong.
That's the big question, isn't it? A lot of people are worried about that. Some scholars are saying we need clearer rules, you know?
Yeah, like some safeguards.
Right, to keep things fair.
So what could those be? How do we make sure these civil penalties are actually fair and not just a way to punish people without, you know, a real trial?
Well, one idea is to make it harder to prove a civil case.
Okay.
Right now, it's just preponderance of the evidence, meaning it's more likely than not.
Right.
Some say that's not enough for, you know, serious fines.
So you need to be more certain that someone actually broke the rules.
Exactly. It would protect people more. Another idea is to make sure people have more rights in civil cases, like clear notice of the charges, a chance to defend themselves, the right to appeal.
That seems fair, right? I mean, those are pretty basic things you'd expect in any legal case.
Exactly. It's about fairness at the end of the day. And that's really what's at stake here. Ward brought up all these questions about, like, balancing the government's power to enforce the rules with protecting people's rights.
And as they use civil penalties more and more, those questions are going to get even bigger.
For sure. It's a really interesting area of law and one that could change a lot about how we think about government and the law in the future.
Well, I think we can all agree United States v. Ward is a case every lawyer needs to know.
Absolutely. And anyone who cares about how the law works, really, it shows how even small technical differences can have huge effects on all of us.
Yeah. It's been a fascinating deep dive into United States v. Ward. And, you know, we covered a lot today, from the facts of the case to what it means for environmental law, administrative law, even the whole balance of power in our system.
It's a case that really makes you think, and the issues are still relevant today.
Definitely. And for our listeners, we hope this deep dive gave you a better understanding of the case and how it's still shaping the legal world today. Whether you're a lawyer, a business owner, or just someone who wants to know more about the law, word shows that even these technical legal details can have a huge impact on our lives. So stay informed, stay engaged, and keep those legal minds sharp.